Welcome to our Holden Village podcast. For over 50 years now, Holden Village has traveled a rich history of faith that has transformed a copper mining town into a vibrant place of education, programming, and worship. Holden has sought to welcome all who seek contemplation and community in the remote wilderness of the beautiful Cascade Mountains. We continue to invite people of all ages to come alongside our rhythms, which inspire and equip travelers for a sustainable life of faith outside the village. And we continue to listen and reflect on our story and history and seek to discover our place in God's creative mission in our world. Our podcasts are a way of sharing our conversations with our teaching faculty around reformation, the reforming of our relationships with the earth, with each other, and with the divine. Let's tune in and join the conversation.
My name is Asa Lee, and I serve as the Associate Dean for Campus Life and the Director of African American Church Studies at Wesley Theological Seminary in Washington, D.C. I am teaching faculty for the last 2 weeks here in Holden Village, and I've been teaching on rediscovering the strength to love, examining Dr. King's model for social change in the age of division. And it's been an interesting time that we've been living in, and we've been dealing with a lot of division in our society. And instead of trying to come up with new ideas, I believe that one of the solutions to healing our communities is to go back to one of our great and beloved leaders, the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and explore his work that was published in 1963. This work was a collection of sermons and teachings that he gave, and the book is titled Strength to Love. In it, Dr. King posits a theological vision for beloved community. And so we've taught three sessions, one dealing with love as the solution to the problem, another dealing with what the work is that we ought to do to address change in our society, and lastly, naming a vision for the beloved community. For those who participated in the session, we felt that the best approach is to name some of the key elements of beloved community. So, for King, there were four main areas that we looked at. One, what does it mean to live in a community that holds itself accountable? If you're going to live in a beloved community, you need to take responsibility and be able to address the wrongs that happen. Second, we make space for the neighbor. That is, whenever there is a person who is different from us, we find ways to include them, to make them available in what we are doing in community. Third, we are interdependent, meaning that we do not leech off of one another. We do not zap one another's energy, but instead we find ways to hold one another up in community and build bridges between each other. And in so doing, we strengthen one another in the process. The last was that we find ways to be uniquely ourselves, but still unified in a common cause. And in that way, we celebrate one another's differences, and we look for the common goals in community with each other. That frame served as the way in which we examined how to move forward as a community. So then in the second session, we worked through our own personal responsibilities. So we looked at how each one of those areas, being accountable to one another, helping to create space for neighbor, dealing with our interdependence, and exploring unity and difference as equals. In the second session, we looked at what is our responsibility? What work can we do? And it's important that in discussions about race and inclusion and equality, that we actually look at specific ways that we can take back to our community and make a small difference. So in our sessions, we talked about holding our family members accountable. When we hear something that is biased or prejudiced or discriminatory or even racist, how do we hold one another accountable? Simple ways to gently but consistently tell people that they are not being as inclusive as they might think they are. We talked about how to create space for neighbor, meaning being neighborly starts with self, understanding who you are, understanding what your needs are, After all, the commandment that Jesus gives is that we would love our neighbor as ourselves. So that means we must first take stock of who we are and what we might need in community, and then be able to make that available to our neighbors. We also looked at strategic ways to examine how we can stop leeching or bleeding off of one another, but instead empower each other. And a simple way that we can all do this is by listening to the stories of other people and believing the stories that are difficult for us to often believe. When people say they've been harassed by police, when people say they've been accosted or even arrested for crimes they did not commit, to listen deeply and to believe them at first glance instead of looking for ways to blame them. This is an easy way to be interdependent and to rely on each other, because those build issues of trust and build bridges across our differences. And then the hardest aspect of this work personally is to not be homogeneous. And meaning by that, we always look for people to be the same, to be just like us. And if we're just like one another, then we'll be unified. And that's just not true. And many times it is the people who are of a like mind that have very different opinions about a lot of different things, but can agree on the overall objectives of society. And so the example that is often used is that we can be Democrat and Republican, but still have common ideas. And instead of vilifying each other, we find the ways and do the hard work of figuring out how we can be unified over our differences. And then the last session, after figuring out our work, what we decided to do was to hear good and positive stories. And what I'll say about good and positive stories and the vision for our beloved community is that no matter what the news says, or no matter what headlines might bring, there are ordinary people every day in simple communities across the country and across the world who are doing their part to build beloved community. And whenever we get tired of hearing of the work of doing beloved community, we should look for these stories. Look for not the headlines, but for deep in the pages of a newspaper or through the word of mouth of people who are doing good work in our community. They're not looking to be celebrated. They're not looking for airtime on television or radio. They're simply wanting to feed people, or they're simply wanting to house people, or they're simply wanting to make a difference in community. And if we can find those folks, then we can find the power and the energy to press on and do the work that we're doing in our communities. The powerful way in which Dr. King expressed beloved community is that this is hard work, but it is good work. And beloved community becomes even generative. I mean, one of the takeaways I want people to experience is that, yes, this is difficult. It's difficult to talk to our family members about their racism. It's difficult to be defined and not be grandiose in yourself. Those are hard concepts. But when you do it, the community generates itself. People want to be a part of what you're doing. People want to join that community, and it thrives, yes. Yeah. And so this is a really important notion at a time in which we're tearing each other apart, that we actually can find ways to build each other up.
Thanks for joining us for another Holden Village podcast. Be sure to view the links in the description for more information, or visit our website to find out more about the village. We hope you will make a pilgrimage to Holden. Blessings and peace to you.